Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 226.
Why are you pointing at me?
No reason.
Did it sound like there was almost a little bit of a mistake?
Oh. Almost.
Oh, sorry. I realize we do strive for excellence. That is our motto.
I can't point out that mistake because of promises I made before the podcast started.
Which is why he made that mistake. He's trying to bait you into breaking your...
He's very...
Oathbreaker.
He didn't promise he'd say it.
Oathbreaker, Kingslayer. Way to go. Sorry, we were talking Game of Thrones before this. Really want to reread those books. I'm holding out.
You don't have, like, 3 months?
Well, it's not even that. I'm holding out till they announce the release date of the next one, and then I will read them.
Backtrack.
That's when you rent out the cabin somewhere.
That's my goal.
In the middle of nowhere.
It's looking like it's going to be another 8 years or so.
Sits there and reads it. Secluded hermit cabin.
How do you have time to read anything other than comics?
He doesn't even read those sometimes, really.
Yeah, you see his list. I mean, there's, like, 3 on there. How long do you think it takes him to read?
Yeah.
There's 6.
I need to throw all of mine this week.
We had friends in from out of town this week, so this weekend. So
that's nice.
Did you sing? Yeah. Yeah, but it just kind of nipped the...
They went to Kennywood.
That's right. We were at Kennywood Sunday.
I know.
They
invite
us. Yes. I
sent a panic email to Josh to get the he had sent
You didn't even, like, ask a question email.
No, just, no. It was
there
just...
There were 2 statements, and I looked at that, and I was like, I guess he's asking me to do this.
I knew you knew how to do it. That was all. But cool. To put up the TV show.
Didn't post comics now. I'm at Kennywood.
I didn't realize.
You figured it out? Like, you did exactly what I
wanted. He's sitting
wanted.
At the top of the fandom.
No, I was actually sitting. No, I was waiting. Sandy was in line for fries, and I was sitting holding a table. And all of a sudden I realized, I'm like, oh, crap.
There's one of those ride photos somewhere of him like, comics now.
But that shows his level of dedication and passion he has
about this.
For comics now.
Or more importantly, comics preview theater.
That's why he doesn't.
That's where
us.
The passion manifests.
That's where all the creativity comes from.
Okay. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Dave,
Pat,
Adam.
And as always, if you want to join in on the podcast, please just come down. There's always extra seats.
He's ready to make new ones.
He's trying to replace us.
Not in so many words, but, you know, Dave's getting a little mouthy. You know? He can only take so much of that.
I know.
So, Pat, what's the news?
There is no news.
Okay, there's no news.
I saw no news all week. Well, the only thing I did see, which I thought
there was
was
something yesterday about the Spider-Man whole thing. I saw some other image.
Yeah,
first of all, there's too many rumors involved in that whole thing.
Yeah, but I saw something about their recasting Poison Ivy in Gotham.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're going to make her a teenager, make her all sexy-like.
Nobody's going to question all that. Nobody's going to be like, whatever.
Well, no, that's fine.
Kids
so,
change when they grow up.
You know who won't
that
question it?
That would change quicker than any of them.
You know who won't question it?
Me, because I won't
guy.
Be watching it.
That's right. I have 10 episodes on the DVR still, and every time I look at the DVR and think of what I want to watch, that does not even...
I will say that the last episode, the last thing that happened in it was really interesting. But the rest of the show wasn't.
Okay, so I watched the last 5 minutes of the last episode.
I won't even do that.
No, but I mean, that's... Now, they had a lot of goodwill because it's a Batman show, and
I'm surprised.
And I love the Batman 1966 show, so I will put up with a lot from.
I love that show too,
but nope, sorry.
Because that show,
it was intentionally campy.
It did what it set out to do. It set out to make a campy, fun Batman show, and that's what it did.
I think that was
this show did not do what it set out to do. It did something different.
Yeah,
I think that was also the success of Batman Brave and the Bold. Because they did that. They went out. They knew what they were going to be
canceled.
More of a Silver Age. But it lasted 3 years for a cartoon. I mean, a lot of these cartoons don't last.
Actually, I've been rewatching Batman the Animated Series the past couple nights.
Yeah, that one lasted the longest of any Batman. A lot of animated superhero
shows. What service is that on?
My wife bought me the first 2 seasons on DVD for Christmas.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Adele and I have been watching Young Justice.
Yeah, that's okay. We had that on today.
It's good.
Yeah. It's a good Teen Titans show for, like, a real feeling Teen Titans.
I love Teen Titans Go. I know that show gets a lot of hate because they don't do this. It's just a fun show, though.
But I kind of hate that show.
I think it's the same. I think it's like this was their plan with the show, and that's what they did. You know, it was just supposed to be a fun kind of cartoony Teen Titans.
I love the goofiness of it.
Yeah,
and I love the fact that
it has nothing.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with anything DC related. It's just.
Yeah.
It's fun, you know, to kind of see Robin, you know, as hyper extreme perfectionist as he is, and, you know, Beast Boy just being, you know, lazy. And it's just hilarious.
They took the Teen Titans show that was already in existence, yeah. and they took it, all the characters, to their extremes.
Right.
And I think that's what's fun about it. Like, when they gave Darkseid and that was funny.
They gave Darkseid
a cough drop. And his voice turned out to be Weird Al.
Yeah.
And that's who they used for Darkseid. It's just fun for that. But, I agree, though. I think Gotham just kind of stepped away from what it... I'm surprised it's lasted this long.
The only thing that really bothers me about it, though...
I'm surprised we're talking about it again.
No, but why jump
her... Who brought it up?
And not, I did, because I'm stupid. Why jump her and not jump everyone else? Okay, you picked a little girl that doesn't look like what we all kind of know Poison Ivy to look like.
I think it says,
that's your fault for casting.
I think it says for, you know, basically what the big problem with this show is that they don't really know what they want, so they're just, like, throwing everything at us until something, like, you know, it was supposed to be a Commissioner Gordon police show, and it turned into, well, here, we can't do this because we need Batman villains to keep everybody going, or we need,
but that's
you know,
why
better the... Poison Ivy, because they didn't do anything with that girl for a long time. She showed up every so often.
Yeah.
But that was it.
But here's... This would be the perfect time. Jump it ahead 5 years. Mm-hmm. You bring that in. You can show the decline of Gotham at that point. You know, he maybe is Captain Gordon at that point, and you know, it just every week it's getting worse and worse and worse. You don't have to have Bruce in there because at this point he's off training. You know, it kind of eliminates that need to have Batman, and then you can kind of start bringing in some of the villains at a lower level, and you know, escalate it eventually.
When the kid hits puberty like Bran, it's not going to be, you know,
yeah,
it'll work,
yeah.
Yeah, it just...
Sorry, Game of Thrones reference. Sorry.
It just... Yeah. There's a problem with this show. But it'll probably survive because if people like it, I mean, it's fine. But I think for the rest comic book people and Batman people, we look at it a little differently.
Yeah.
So.
That's it.
The Spider-Man thing, though, was they added Donald Glover to the cast.
Isn't he, like, too old now to play Miles?
I don't...
Just personally?
That's the rumor.
Yeah,
Nobody's ever said Miles.
Ever said who
he plays the voice of Miles in that cartoon show. He was, for anyone that was a Community fan, he was Troy on Community.
But I can't see them... I mean, Miles is significantly younger than Peter anyway.
Yeah.
So, I guess, you know, even at best, you would have it make them contemporaries that maybe, you know, the same type of accident happened to. Okay, fine, that's kind of out there, but I can see that. But you wouldn't make Miles the older of the two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing about this movie, this movie worries me, like, a lot. Not because, like, we saw the new Peter Parker, we saw the new Spider-Man, and everybody liked it.
And Aunt May is hot, and that's a problem.
And I don't know when to still know, because, I mean, really, Sony has all the creative in this. So, I don't really know what it's going to turn into in that case. Like, what Sony's going to do to that. Marvel did a good job with Captain America, just bringing the character out there, but now it's in their hands, and they have to do it. And I kind of worry about that, because I'm just like, are we just going to have, like, why, I mean, even if they're even thinking about having Miles in it, why?
Well...
Like, why? What you got Peter. What you, that's Spider-Man. Yeah, what, you going to have a two Spider-Man now in there? Or are you going to bring Miles in for no reason?
I wouldn't think he would be Miles just because of that.
I can't see it.
Because it's Peter Parker, Spider-Man. They don't want to have two Spider-Men. I wouldn't think you'd want to have two Spider-Men.
It would be Robbie Robertson.
Running around in the same movie.
Ben Reilly.
To take
can't have that now.
take the spotlight can't have off that Peter. Now.
Why?
They killed him off and Daredevil.
Not Ben Urich, Ben Reilly.
Oh, Ben Reilly, yeah. We can't. Oh, well, that's too
no,
weird.
No, that's a clone.
That's yeah, that's that's really...
I don't know much about cloning, but...
Well, maybe they're not good at cloning.
There you go. If it was half sheep, maybe.
Could be Robbie Robertson's son.
Or Robbie Robertson. He's never been in the movies.
He seems too young to be.
Doesn't matter. You didn't have to.
You're
be
right.
Yeah, but,
yeah, you're
but
right.
No, but I mean, they look could. At how young they made Peter,
yeah.
So that could work.
You can change some ages in this. Yeah, that's not even the problem. Changing, like...
Maybe he's new Flash Thompson.
I mean, that could work. I mean, it doesn't make any difference in those type of changes, but...
He'll get his legs cut off and they'll
Miles
become Venom.
No
it'll be
sense.
Awesome.
You know, could be Eddie Brock.
Or not getting his legs cut off. That's not awesome, but...
They don't actually cut people's legs off when they play amputees in movies. Like,
I know that.
Lieutenant
Dan.
They didn't really cut Gary Sinise's legs off. That would be
messed
up.
They just put him back on.
He's a method
actor. I was just saying cut his legs off and let him be Venom.
Probably won an Oscar.
Yeah, I was just saying cut his legs off and then it would be
awesome.
What's his face?
The one that played Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
He would have cut his legs off.
He probably would have done it.
He would have cut his legs off.
True. Actually, now that you say that,
I will drink your milkshake. Yes.
What's that from?
Oh, it's Daniel Day-Lewis in. It was the oil one.
Oh,
there will be blood.
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, I will drink your milkshake. And then he beats the guy to death with a bowling pin.
It's one of my favorites. Is Gangs of New York. I thought he did. A really
I love
good job
Gangs of New York.
Yeah. You're a big Leonardo fan, so. Find him dreamy.
Good actor.
Yeah.
I've always been a Katana guy. Michelangelo's not bad either, but.
But yeah. They need to. I don't know what's going to happen to Spider.
No. No one does.
I worry.
When DiCaprio did Titanic, like, all the guys were like, oh, that guy's lame. And all the girls were like, ooh, it's Leonardo DiCaprio.
You could be on
Comics for Youth Theater.
But then after that, he did. Well, he did the Romeo and Juliet movie, too, but other than those two, every single other movie he's done is like a badass movie.
Yeah, Departed.
I love that movie.
Same thing with Brad Pitt was the same way, where, you know, the woman roll into him, and the guy's like, screw that guy, and then like, Snatch.
That movie.
I think that was the first one that like was really a big departure for him.
I thought it was 12 Monkeys, but...
It was 12 Monkeys before
yeah.
Snatch?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I guess it was.
Those came out around the same time. And then Fight Club cemented it.
Regardless, like, every single movie has been an awesome movie.
The guys who did Fargo, they did a movie with him in it.
The Coen Brothers?
The Coen Brothers. That they did a movie with him where that part when he's in, like, a closet, George Clooney opens up the closet and he's just smiling. He
it's
shoots
not
him
the
in
man.
The
head. It's,
what is
it,
that
it
called?
Burn Before Reading or Burn
That's
After
it.
Reading.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What a weird scene. But anyways.
So that's it for news?
Fitness instructor.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's it.
But
that's
smiles.
It.
But we got rants and questions.
Not so much rants.
I know we had a rant.
Oh, etiquette. You're going to rant? Josh,
no,
rant.
I said
man.
I didn't know we had a rant.
No, not a rant. But a request. Let me put it that way.
Don't be a D.
That sound very good.
Yeah.
I was in it, though. He was like, oh.
No.
Behave the way your parents taught
you
to behave.
No, so I kind of wrote down
we
etiquette.
Don't know how their parents
now,
taught you to behave.
Now, there's a couple things that have been going on that I personally don't care for. But one thing I'm asking of you guys is pre-order. If there's a book you know you want, let me know. I get a lot of, I just knew you'd have it on the shelf.
False.
Well, I try. Trust me, I try.
But you're not here to spend a ton of money that may not ever move. On a product that may not ever move.
Yes.
Right.
Just because people are too lazy to tell you that they want something.
And one thing right now I'm struggling with a little bit is I signed up a bunch of people for the June number ones. Mm-hmm. So I get you Rebirth number one and then the first issue. But nobody signed up for the number twos. No. But other than the people like that, you were already getting the book and things like that. But in numbers, so it's one of those. The pre-order numbers tell me to cut my orders in half of all these books that I just sold out of immediately, and it's like, no, I know not to do that, but I'm not getting really any feedback.
Now, the one question you do have to clarify, because even I had this question. I was getting Batman.
Right.
Are you carrying over Batman? Yes,
if you were getting a book, I carried you over.
Okay, yeah, that's...
But if you just signed up for the number ones, are you going to want number two and three? You know, did you enjoy it? Let me know, because, you know, there is the expectation, oh, it'll just be on the...
On the shelf.
On the shelf. What?
Dave's phone looked bigger than yours for some reason.
Oh.
And I thought it was the same phone.
Dave's an iPhone?
Yeah, they both have the same phone, but for some reason Dave's looked longer.
Oh. So, yeah, let me know if you want the twos and stuff like that. It's that's what she said? Okay. Thank you, Dave. Wow.
Dave with a delayed
I don't know. We didn't really get Dave. It lost a little bit in the delay.
There was, he started giggling before he could say it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But the big problem I'm having... And
you realized immediately it was coming.
I've been talking with Jermaine Exum, Lord Retail, on Twitter down at Acme Comics down in Greensboro, and we've been trying to figure out what to do with this particular problem.
Who anointed him Lord Retail?
When he had to pick a Twitter handle, he picked that for some reason, because he was kind of the go-to guy for retailer questions on there, so he just kind of anointed himself.
He was on the Bendis board.
Yeah, maybe that's where he named himself. Yeah.
He was a big thing on there, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's probably where it started, but I could be wrong.
I forgot about the Bendis folder.
Yeah, that's so...
No longer defunct, right, for the past couple of years.
But we're trying to figure out what to call these people, because you have... Like, I have one guy who will order a lot of number ones. He'll order a lot of first appearances. And he's basically speculating that those are going to go up in value. Now, he just orders one, but he wants, you know, specific issues. All of a sudden, he'll be, you know, he wants number 9 of this and number 12 of that. But he always pre-orders out of previews, lets me know. And that's a speculator. That's someone who's guessing that it's going to be worth a lot. That's somebody who orders a case of something, and he's speculating on it. And that's fine. I have no problem with those kind of people.
Well, he ordered a case, he pays for it, so
what? Right, right. But we have a new breed that's out. That I came up with a name for, and we're not 100% sure. He named it the Johnny Come Latelys, and I call them vultures. But they're the people who on Tuesday night...
I prefer your name better.
Okay. Yeah. On Tuesday night, when all of a sudden it's reported that some book is really hot and it's already sold out at Diamond, that then come in the next day and try to buy all the copies. It's not... They're not speculating. They're seeing, like, Flash number one last week on Wednesday was already selling for $15 on eBay. And all of a sudden, then people are coming in, and I run out of my copies, not for people that want to read them, but for people that are looking to flip them on eBay, and all of a sudden, I'm their wholesaler, based on what I had to order 2 months ago, or even at the worst, 3 weeks ago, mm-hmm. To put in my final numbers. And I find it beyond aggravating.
And those sales, like, even though your numbers will be fine for this first, you know, week, it doesn't help you out because the people that came in that want to buy the book because they're actually interested in it
can't get it.
Are going to go somewhere else to buy it.
If they can.
And then you're not going to get that sale on number two.
Right. And it's like, well, and then the other problem is, okay, Titans 1 I sold out of because Rich Johnson said it was the next hot thing. Well, great. How does the next issue sell?
Yeah.
Now, luckily, these are returnable, but in most cases, they're not. And I just find it beyond aggravating, these guys. I had a guy come in this morning, and first guy through the door wanted to buy 20 copies. Of Titans Rebirth.
What?
Wow.
And I'm like, no. And he MF'd me heading going out the door. And it's like,
really?
Yeah.
Was this someone you knew?
No. Wow. No, but that's how my day started. And it's like, you know what? I don't need this. After
you
having
have a
did
sign.
You, did you put your policy?
I'm going to have to put those signs back up. But it's just, and after I had a horrible day yesterday because I had a guy call me and tell me he wanted me to hold one copy of every book that comes out so that he could then later decide which ones to get so that he would buy the ones that sold out real quickly. And I'm just like, it had me mad all day because I'm like, just the gall of somebody saying, hey, could you hold $600 worth of product for me and I'll buy $6 worth of it when I feel like it? It's just like, that's not how the system works. So,
especially you do a pretty good job of informing people what's coming out each week.
Right. But to these people, it doesn't matter. They only want the
hot new
book.
I wouldn't worry about those guys.
But I have to because my shelf is empty because of them. Oh. I sold out of Titans Rebirth, not to people that wanted to read it, but to people that came in and bought it just to flip on eBay.
Yeah, then,
so what do I do? How do I...
Well,
are they buying more?
You have to
limit
what they buy.
More?
They come in and buy all the Rebirth books.
So they come up and bring you a pile? And
no, I only let them buy one, okay. But they're still buying them. So now the people that
are coming in to do it.
Right, but the people that are now expecting
Josh
to be able
comes,
to come in and get
Josh
it.
Josh walks in the door and he's right.
Oh,
with
Colin will have plenty on the shelf.
Titans. Oh, wait, he doesn't have Titans.
I don't know of any way you can do it.
I know.
Actually, Pat, I do get Titans because I pre-ordered
right.
it.
So,
as did I.
And I let Colin know to put on my pull yeah. list. So that way I'm not
right.
left out in the
so
cold.
So that's
whenever.
Part of what I'm saying is let me know ahead of time so that
so
you
it's
don't.
Safe.
But it's just, it's a. I don't want to say it's brand new. I'm sure it's not brand new, but this is unique where we're selling out of books right away because nobody knew what they were. And it won't last much longer because I'm sure on the next, like on all the July books, we're able to up our orders. These caught us kind of by surprise because we didn't know.
Yeah.
And even like, well, like Titans is a brand new one. And even Green Arrow, I didn't order enough of. But for the most part, I should have plenty
you
of all of them.
Green Arrow number one in a day, would you say?
Yeah.
Thursday?
Yeah, I was done by Thursday. And these will probably be gone by tomorrow. But it, you know, it's one of those, okay, I sold 70 in 2 days. How many of the next issue do I get? Cause 70 is still, you know, I was normally only selling 15.
Yeah.
So 70 seemed like a really sky high number. How much of that was just the guy coming in and buying five copies?
Well, and not only is it important for people to tell you like ahead of time, it's important for them to tell you. That's why you provide them with previews.
Mm-hmm.
And when it shows up in previews and you're about ready to do your order, that's when they need to tell you. That way you know, it's more possible for you to
yeah, and
to
just
get that.
Just let me know. You know, it's
you had
a total
call
guess.
In today asking for Titans,
yeah.
holding it.
Yeah.
Now with those, people
I had 18 emails
it,
last night
yeah.
requesting
to
me
be
to
fair,
hold a copy.
To be fair, I did contact him today and ask him to hold a book for me that I didn't pull.
But
it was contacted me like, yesterday.
But he knows
you asked me yesterday.
No, it was today.
He knows that you're one of the people. That
the
are,
detective
this morning. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I texted this morning.
Okay.
It wasn't Rebirth, though. It wasn't Rebirth.
No,
yeah,
it wasn't
but that's the thing. It's
it wasn't a hot book. Not that it's not
yet.
A hot book, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just
but he knows you're going to be reading the book and enjoying the book for what it is, not coming in and getting it because of all these people.
He doesn't know
like,
if I'm
going to
enjoy it.
This book.
You don't know that.
It's adding a false collectability back into
like,
comics,
oh,
which is
sucks.
What killed them the first time.
I'm going to read it more.
So, yeah, it's just making me.
Where is this year, too? Superman's not going to be able to, like, pay off my mortgage next year?
Right.
Damn
right.
it.
So, and it's just.
You got to fire some customers.
Yeah.
Do, like,
But, again, like I said, some of it's customers, but a lot of it's not.
Yeah.
A lot of it's just people looking as it a way to come in and make a quick buck.
Right. It just artificially inflates your
yeah.
number one sales, and,
yeah.
and you have no idea.
And it creates an artificial sellout, you know, where it's not really sold out. So
that's why it's really important for people to tell you what to order for them, because then they don't get mixed into this.
But yeah, even like well, thing. Like Green Arrow. I think at the time of the order, I think I had 15 holds for it, and by this morning, I had 42 holds
yeah.
for it, which is great because I ordered 40. You know, and.
Last two people didn't get it.
Well, no, they just got the other cover. But,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just, it's harder than it should be, and I do not care for these people.
If you're going to do that shit, go to Barnes & Nobles.
Yeah.
Go to Books.
Well, they can't, because they don't have them.
Well,
I know.
Right, but don't go to a local shop where it actually impacts your
body. Go to the library.
Yeah, what was it Jermaine said? Told him I was going to name drop him tonight.
And you did.
Make
twice.
It look cool.
More cool if you were prepared. I'm just saying.
Yeah, he said no. He said, feel free to use my quote about how trying to find a book you know sells for $12 for $2.99 is not speculation. It's Johnny Come Lately-ism. Reading Titans Hunt and thinking Titans Rebirth will be a thing, so you pre-order one of each cover, that's speculation. And he's right. Yeah. So.
Although, actually, like I said with the Batman... I liked both covers.
And right. I ordered a boatload of those, but I didn't know to order.
Which one do I want to get?
Yeah. And the problem with the Green Arrow was I ordered more of the variant than
okay.
I did of the main cover. But the problem is when you sign up for it, I put you down for the main cover, not the
yeah.
variant. Because I knew the variant was going to be by Neil Adams, and I knew that was going to have some
Well, but that also causes a problem in your system, because if you sign me up for cover B... well, if there's not a cover B, then I don't get the book that
right,
month.
Right, right. No, so, that's a problem I'm having with IDW a lot, with IDW
so
in Image.
So what's your main concern here, though? It's really making sure the
let me know
people
if,
get the
well,
books
yeah, and let me know if you want something, because I can't promise that I'll have it.
You
because
can't
there's
stop these type of people.
Right, there's no way to stop it.
Besides and, the guys who are dumb and come in and ask you, can I get 20 copies or something? Yeah. And then you're just like, yeah, get out.
Yeah.
Don't be upset about that. That guy was a jerk.
I know. Yeah, actually, before I opened, I pulled all the Titans off the shelf and put it in my box to make sure I had enough to cover holds and to stop those people. And that's almost what I have to do now, is when I know a book is going to be hot, to pull it off the shelf.
But they can't be upset when you don't have it and they let you know that day either.
Right.
They can't
but
just,
they still get upset, though.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be. They don't have a right to be.
In that case, they need to. There's nothing you can do about that.
But for some reason, a lot of people have this strong sense of entitlement for no reason, so they feel like they do get to yell at him and MF him because they didn't do their due diligence and pre-order, or because they had a friend say, hey, buy this book so you can sell it for an extra $3 on eBay. Whatever.
But you filter out the jerks. You know?
Yeah,
you
it's know. Just it's, I mean, you know, you know and it's weird because you know they're going, oh, don't you want to sell these books?
There's nothing
it's
wrong
like
with being a collector. There's nothing wrong with being a speculator if that's your thing. No. But don't be a douche about it.
Well, there's that, but in a way there is, because he gives you opportunity that he can order you in 20 copies if he's wanting 20 copies.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you know knowing that they're limited, knowing I can't order more. You know, yeah. I'm trying to be more of, I don't want to say an ambassador, but, you know, I'm trying to sell, you know, the hobby and get you interested in a book, not just sell 20 copies to some guy who'll never be back, or he'll only be back for the next hot thing.
Right.
Yeah. So, just frustrating. It adds a real frustrating level, because, you know, believe it or not, I'm not in this for the money. Yes, I'm in it to pay the mortgage, but I'm not in it to, you know.
You live the dream.
There's not a ton of, you know. Not rolling in it. You know, I'm driving a car with 178,000 miles on it.
And it would be nice for people to understand that you put money down on this early.
And not then, really. I mean, that's not
like
a thing.
You pay for this stuff, though.
I pay for it after, but that's not a huge thing. But, I mean, if you order stuff and then don't pick it up, yeah, well, that'll track you down and kill you. But, sorry, Dave.
I'd say that's the second part. Again, that's part of the rain here.
Yeah.
Be courteous. Understand that this... Someone has to pay for
it. It's a special hobby. It's not like walking in and wanting to buy, you know, I don't know, 20 whatever, a Giant Eagle. You know, it's not going to mess up their numbering, you know, because none of their stuff is limited edition type things. But it's just, it's adding.
Well, but not only adding, that.
The limited edition cantaloupe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a big corporate deal, not
it's
a small local shop.
But, I mean, it's a kind of a unique product, too.
Yeah.
It's covered in foil.
It's a multi-bred variant. It's just a different skin.
Weird. That's the theme of the podcast today, etiquette.
Yeah.
Oddly, this podcast, the theme's etiquette.
Adam.
Colin what? Teaches manners.
But just,
watch
yeah.
that show.
Yes, yeah, it was really,
After Comics Now.
Colin we'll keep, teaches well, we want to send my daughter to, like, some sort of etiquette class. She drives us
military
nuts.
School.
You have to do, you know why you're failing? In order to teach, well, obviously, if he wants to send her away to school, he's failing.
I know, it's just funny.
In order to teach etiquette, you have to have a British accent.
Oh, okay, fair
enough. So you have.
She
to start...
does one thing that drives me insane. She'll take
only
put
one.
A, well, one thing in particular at the table is she'll have something on her fork and take a bite off of it off the fork, like not put you know a bite size on the fork and put the whole thing in her mouth.
So like she'll pick up a pork chop and bite
but not
pork
the
chop
whole pork chop,
out?
But she'll you know pick up
like
a
large
piece
section
as large, you know, something maybe too big, and then bite off the fork. It drives me
eat
insane.
It like, eats it like a corn dog off of that.
Even but I mean not just like a pork chop, but just like you know mashed potatoes. She'll only eat part. You know she'll bite part of it off the fork. It's just like
oh, I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
why?
I don't know. It
and
drives
then she
me
puts
insane.
The rest of it back. In
no,
the back
and then she'll sit there and do another.
It.
Yeah, it's just
she slowly eats off the fork.
It drives me insane.
So what you do is. You take all her stuff and you put it in a bowl. You put it next to Maggie and say, you want to eat like a dog, go eat with the dog.
Okay, I'll try that next time. Maggie will go, thank you. Yeah. But yeah, just one
of
those.
How long has that been going on?
Since forever.
Since forever.
Yeah.
Well, who trained her to eat that way?
I don't know.
It had to be
I'm assuming you don't eat that way.
No.
I've seen The Way Colin Eats. He just kind of inhales the whole thing, so
it's more a speed thing.
He eats a sandwich like Dagwood.
That's right.
that's more like Shaggy.
Shaggy. That's it.
Ever watch
that's
Everybody it. Loves Raymond? Because the older brother on that, Robert, he whenever
he
touched it to his chin.
He touched it to his chin before he put it in his mouth.
But that's more of an OCD thing. This.
Yeah, I don't know why she does it, but it drives me insane.
Huh. Hmm. Like really insane?
Like, stop doing it. Well, yeah, sometimes.
No, he has a steak.
Have you ever
so
just said
insane.
It? Have you ever been like, why do you keep doing
but
it?
But even like, you know, she'll have a bite-sized piece of steak and then still just bite off, you know, part. It's just like, put it in your mouth.
Hopefully nobody from her school listens to this podcast.
No, she eats soup at lunch, so one.
Oh, so they all know. Yeah. So she takes a little bit from this.
I have no idea that I.
You're
going to
start documenting
this. No,
he's
going
to write a book one day on it.
So etiquette, yes, but yeah, just it's just like I said, it's just adding another layer of frustration for me. And it's, you know, of course, and the other problem is that it's only stuff that it's already sold out, so there's no way to get more. You know, so it's not that I can cover.
Yeah, it's
anything.
Not like if four people say, "Hey, you know, regular customers,
yeah, oh, I'll
hey,
just get
I
more in."
To,
yeah,
I forgot to order Titans. Can you hook me up?
So that's my up. Rant, my frustration.
It walks in.
What?
What you just posted?
What?
About the alligator?
Oh, yeah.
You're an idiot.
I don't know what else to say.
You're an idiot.
I know her from my work. Oh. Hopefully she doesn't take it the wrong way, but whatever.
We had a question, didn't we, Colin?
Yeah.
We did have a question. Hang on. Sorry, I got to pull that up. It's from Zach in Texas.
Resolve this question off the air?
No, I did reply to him.
You know what you should do if you're going to resolve them off the air? You need to post the question on the website and then your answer beneath it so other people can enjoy your answer as well.
Yeah.
Because I spent a lot of time thinking about that particular question, doing some research.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I
research you have to do.
The company Hastings.
Oh, Hastings. Yeah.
Because I didn't know anything about them, so
Zach's
I went.
Zach's question or something.
This one was James.
Okay. Zach's question was.
Was it? I thought it was James.
Thought wrong, Pat.
Whatever. Oh no, I guess it would have had.
Oh, you know what? I only responded to the last half. Okay. Favorite Rebirth title so far. Only Rebirth, not any post-Rebirth issues that have come out like Detective or Action. To be fair, Action I really loved.
I did too.
Okay, so round the table. Favorite Rebirth title so far?
Probably a lot of us are gonna have the same.
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman was very, very good.
Wonder Woman, I thought was just, and I'm not a Wonder Woman fan, but I thought it was excellent the way it kind of showed her past and how, because her origin is so confusing, and it showed it's even confusing to her.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there some of it's lies, we just don't know what's lies yet. I thought that was really cool.
For me, Flash. I really liked Flash. And I haven't been reading any of Flash. I knew 52, I started reading a little bit, I didn't really get into it as much. And then with this, I said, you know, I'll give it a try. And I think it has a lot of potential. So, Flash.
Colin?
Me? Green Arrow. Now, I'm a
really
Green Arrow
like
fan from way back. I remember I had the original miniseries that they did back in the early 80s, and then in the early 90s when I was starting to do shows out at Station Square, Great Eastern Conventions was doing a monthly show, and I did a couple of those. And at one of them, a guy had fill a box of his stuff for, I forget what, $25-$50. So I filled it with a ton of stuff, and found two books I totally loved after just literally just grabbing whatever. But one was Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu, which was fantastic. And the other was Green Arrow, Mike Grell's Green Arrow run. And I finally filled in the whole, I have the whole run at home. That's one I kept.
You have art on the walls in the bathroom?
Yeah, that's prints. I do have, I have an original cover of issue 55 of that. But I just really loved it. And this is really kind of, the guy mentioned that this was his something that he, you know, that he wanted to harken back to. This was not a role model, but
it looked like my wife's car.
Oh, what's she doing here?
If it's treats, we didn't have Frosties.
Okay, of course not. So it was nice to see that, because when New 52 started, I really hadn't read much Green Arrow in a long time. Especially after Grell left, the book became really weird back in the 90s. All of a sudden, the whole thing of Mike Grell's run was taking on corrupt politicians, corporations, people mining, stripping the trees. It's very...
socially conscious?
Yeah, that type of thing, which he had been back during the Green Arrow, Green Lantern stuff, but it kind of got back to that. And then, all of a sudden, in the first issue... In the first issue after he left, all of a sudden he was fighting an alien. And it was just one of those, this is not at all what I really want. Hello, ladies.
Hi, special guests. Do we have new podcasters?
No. Okay. I guess not.
Don't be afraid.
But so I really, I stopped reading Green Arrow right after that because it wasn't my Green Arrow. It was generic hero guy. And that's what I really felt the New 52 Green Arrow was as well.
I liked the New 52 Green Arrow at first, it was either in its third arc or its fourth arc. It started looking a lot like
donuts. Sorry, people listening, you can't have any of
that one. Not exactly, but almost like the Immortal Iron Fist.
Your paper towel from the bathroom.
And I love the Immortal Iron Fist, but I just. There was something about it just didn't ring true.
I remember they made him... The first part of it, he almost came off as like a Tony Stark-like character in New 52, if I remember. They did a lot with Queen Consolidate.
Yeah, and all of a sudden they had the Q phone and all that stuff.
They were doing that. It wasn't as received. It wasn't received very well, and then they changed it, I think.
Well, then he tried to join the Justice League, and they were like, you're a jerk.
And then they added him to Justice League of America.
Yeah.
I jumped on with Lemire's run of it, those three volumes. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped reading after that and then jumped back on whenever Ben Percy came on, since he wrote that two-issue arc on Batman with the plane terminal.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It was all right. It was okay at that point.
And this is still Ben Percy on
it. And it's really good.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for the donuts.
Thank you.
How's that going to sit with the frost? Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah. He's not getting one. You didn't get one yet, Colin. He wasn't going to hand you one now.
See,
you should have waited. Fair enough. You got to think. You got to play smart, Colin.
Colin, can you tell?
But
he doesn't even have to say it.
But I read this one with a little trepidation, and just loved it. Basically, with it having basic Green Arrow and Green and Black Canary. Definitely having the feeling that they had met before, that they knew one another, and I just thought it was really good. And then regular number one came out today, and it was really, really good.
Quick shout out to St. Anne's Fair. My wife and daughter just brought us down some of their homemade fresh donuts they sell at the fair. We went to get them the other night, but the line was insane.
Wow.
So we said, no, you can have a piece of candy at home or something. We're not going to wait in line for that. But
instead,
a whole big box.
That is sweet. A dozen?
Yeah.
So that was my favorite, Green Arrow.
John. You lost the direction.
No, I couldn't remember you.
Yes, I have... There's two that I really, really liked a lot. The first one... you guys may not know this, but I was a little... I was a little put off by the previous Wonder Woman run.
Oh, were you? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I know. I know. I was never a big Wonder Woman fan, but I really loved the Azzarello and Cliff Chang run. And then after that, I was a little, slightly disappointed.
Wasn't any
with
type
the Finches.
Of injustice, was it?
Yeah. So, so I was very, very, very happy with Rebirth. One of Wonder Woman with Greg Rucka and Liam Sharp and Matthew. I can't remember the other artist's name.
I really like that art.
I like the art.
It was a distinct transition in it.
I liked that artist for the first few pages. Then there was like a part in the middle I didn't care for as much. But then Liam Sharp's art was really, really nice afterwards. But it just seems like a return to her being like this strong, powerful character. And I'm very interested to see the two stories they tell out of the gate with this. It was a big turnaround from that slightly disappointing run with the Finches.
Slightly.
I'm being less negative.
The Fenches. That's what you get.
That you want to poop on.
Yeah. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But the other book I really liked Green Lanterns.
Yeah.
A lot. I love that finally we're focusing a bit on.
Did you read Edge of Oblivion?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Which makes it make a bit more sense now.
Yeah.
But I love that we're focusing more on Simon Baz and this
well,
new
did it
lantern.
Explain how it Simon...
Did.
Okay.
It did. And this new lantern, Jessica Cruz, because they got a lot of flack over introducing Baz and then having her not do a whole lot. So I like this is going to focus on it. And I think Sam Humphries has a good voice to tell, you know, this story. It was a nice setup, and I'm really looking forward to this, you know, odd couple buddy, you know...
Yeah, buddy cop.
Buddy like cop, that. Green Lanterns story with these two... You know, newer characters.
The problem is you don't have, like, one that's older, so you can be like, I'm getting too old for this shit.
It's true.
You need a Murtaugh.
You do need a Murtaugh.
And that really makes Hal Jordan, the captain, you know, the mayor's on my ass. You're not going to have that.
But those are the two that I enjoyed the most, but let me say, I've enjoyed every single one I've read so far quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. David?
I hate to say the same thing, but last week's Wonder Woman.
I thought you were going to say, I hate to say it, but nothing. I didn't think like any of it. I was just like, oh,
thank you. No, last week's Wonder Woman was great, and just I'm just very happy to have Greg Rucka back on this character. Yeah, I'm going to have a... Okay. I'm gonna have a plane. I'm really
sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
So hold on a minute, podcast.
I'm really happy to have Greg Rucka back on this character. Yeah, okay, thank you. And because in back to DC, I don't know how they got him to come back to DC. That's excellent. And he did Wonder Woman like 15 years ago, and that's one of my favorite runs. And it just felt to me like going back to that same feeling that he had in those books back then, and really looking forward to this every 2 weeks, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Between that and Flash, it's a really hard choice for me on that one because Wonder Woman was a really good. It's a good setup into this next phase of Wonder Woman. So
I was worried that Rebirth was awesome, but I thought, okay, that's Geoff Johns though.
Yeah,
what's going to happen when it's not Geoff Johns? And so far, all these creative teams have really, got off on the right foot.
Like, I liked Aquaman, and I never thought I'd like an Aquaman book, and
My only issue with Aquaman was that it was a bit too similar to New 52 Aquaman number one, where
I didn't read that, so.
Yeah, it was, like, almost, beat for beat, it was covering the same ground, but again, both of them were very focused on, brand new readers to the book,
mm-hmm.
and dispelling myths, but also building up the, the history of the character.
Well, it wasn't bad. But that was one of the things I liked, with Black Man. People say he talks to fish, but he doesn't really talk to fish.
Yeah, and that exact same thing was talked about in that previous number one.
Okay.
And for me, who read both, I just felt like it's way too similar to Geoff Johns' Aquaman number one. And, quite frankly, Geoff Johns does it better, because Geoff Johns is Geoff Johns.
Yeah. Although I really like Dan Abnett's
Not
writer,
to take anything away from Dan Abnett's book. I've loved Dan Abnett being on Aquaman. I'm really excited for this run. It's just, as someone who's read both of these, launch titles or launch issues, that's the only thing that stood out to me. But that's a minor gripe. It was written well. The art was nice. It was a solid number one. Rebirth number one.
I like what they did because there's characters that I don't... Wonder Woman, I've never been a reader. Aquaman, never been a reader. Never been a Superman guy. I thought Action was great. Although I know technically he didn't talk about that, but I thought that was a great way... these books were good for new readers.
Mm-hmm. Which is the goal, I guess.
I'm happy to be back into reading Wonder Woman because I really do like the character. And I jumped off it around the same time you did. And it really lost me then. And I was just like, and I was really enjoying the Azzarello run. I mean, I just thought
it was so good.
Yeah. And I'm happy to see it going in this direction again. You got to have, your three big characters, the Trinity, the DC Trinity, has to be, they have to have good writers on them, It has to have a good story, and they have to feel right. And I felt like that one was lacking, and Superman started to lack a little bit. Batman, you know, continued pretty strong, but even towards the end, it started to kind of teeter a little bit.
I disagree with you on that, but that's fine.
Well, you think I like
the super heavy arc.
Not to say I didn't like it.
I think it ran a little bit longer than it needed to.
Yeah. I'm saying that it just, compared to the rest of the series, I think it was starting to kind of take a different direction.
I mean, it ran, Gordon ran a calendar year just about, which is a bit long, but at the same time, it's something different with the character.
I don't think it was bad at all. I just think it, compared to the rest of it, it was.
Well, the other thing, I think that would have been different, too, had you been able to get Bruce Wayne in a different book. But Bruce Wayne was essentially out of the equation in all of them, so it wasn't like, okay, well, I'll read Detective. Detective was essentially the same thing, just not as good. Because at least Snyder did a decent job of writing back Gordon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we see, you especially were saying that a lot with the rest of the runs, or the rest of the books that had him in it. They just didn't know how to write the character.
Yeah, I feel like at that point, Detective should have done, like, flashbacks, like, here's some cases from Batman's earlier years or something. So that way they could have used Bruce without messing up the current, continuity or happenings. But, I mean, whatever. Whenever Tomasi... Was it Tomasi that came on Detective? I think Tomasi came on Detective at the end there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That sounds right.
Yeah, that arc with Gordon and his military, friends, that wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. But Rebirth has been solid all around so far. I'm excited to read tonight's books.
I also like how each, let's take Batman, for example. You know, different Batman books that he starts in, but they all have a different direction they're going into. And I think they need that. You can't have one that either has no direction at all, it just has Batman in it, or you have, a book that has kind of the same direction as the other Batman, because why would I read both of them, It's nice to see, when New 52 started, Batman and Robin was exactly that,
Yeah.
Detective was the Commissioner Gordon, more Commissioner Gordon heavy, and then Batman was the main Batman book. And it's nice that this has that, where they each have a mission that they're working on, This one being the main kind of Batman book. Detective is him training.
You forget about The Dark Knight.
Training more sidekicks and stuff. And
I like that book.
Dark Knight, I kind of held that aside because I never really considered New 52 because part of it came out before New 52.
Yeah, the first five issues were pre-New 52, and it just continued.
It had an interesting story about, this friend of his, a girlfriend or something that was murdered.
Yeah, but what I liked about that is it used lesser-known characters. Well, not lesser-known necessarily, but not characters you're going to see in the regular books.
Yeah. No, it was decent. I didn't have a problem with that.
Okay. Second,
what's the other part of the question?
The second half of the question is thoughts on Hastings having problems and being the biggest diamond client. So Hastings is a chain of stores down, I guess, Texas way.
Texas,
and
Arizona,
probably out
New Mexico,
to the west.
Oklahoma.
Yeah. Where it seems to me they're like a bookstore, music store, and they also recently, well, not recently,
it's
a few years ago.
It seems like a Best Buy meets a Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, a few years ago they got into comics, and I guess in a big way, like doing back issues and things like that.
Even Valiant had like this weekly seminar thing with them recently.
So, just a big player, and just the other day they just filed bankruptcy. Chapter 11, reorganization, but
they did say they're trying to sell off all their stores, though.
Okay. So, one of the problems is they are Diamond's biggest customer, just based on sheer volume of orders. And I saw something today, I forget what it was, but it was like $1.6 million or something that Diamond is a creditor to on them. Mm. So, yes, that'll hurt Diamond. That's up to Diamond. That's, I guess you extend those big guys as long as you can because you still want their money.
Yeah.
Again, Diamond wants everybody's money. That's one problem that we as retailers have with them is that they let buying clubs have order books. Like a store will close, but he'll keep his account number, and then he'll order for him and his friends. Because as long as you meet, I think the minimum number is you have to do $425 retail a month. to have keep a valid I know That's to keep a valid hard. Diamond account. And so there are a lot of buying clubs where it's in stores get frustrated when they look and see where stores are and realize, you know, that's a guy's basement. But Diamond won't bother to stop them because their money, well, and their money's as good as anyone else's. Because there's a requirement, you have to have a storefront. And, you know, if they show up and, you know, it's, gosh, it's their basement.
Do you have to have a physical storefront?
Yes.
Okay. So just a web presence?
And you can have a web presence, but there's certain requirements for that, too. It has to have a shopping cart. It has to have, you know, all that fun stuff. But, so, yeah, but again, they don't enforce it very strictly because it's still money to them. So I do see it hurting them. Now, one difference is I'm assuming they're probably pretty heavy Marvel, DC, even Image type stuff. It's not they're not going to get stuck with unpaid for product, only in the sense Diamond is only a broker for those for the guys in the front of the book. So they don't order and hold stock and then resell it. They're just simply passing on Marvel and, you know, to the Marvel. We got orders for this many books, and they ship them right through, and they just take whatever percent, their 3 cents or whatever per book on it. So I don't see that hurting them that much. In that way, they're not going to have a ton of stuff sitting. They got in a lot of trouble with Borders when Borders went under and returned all their merchandise because they had a returnable, a newsstand deal with them where they could return, and all of a sudden they got all this merchandise back.
Now, I wasn't aware that that was how it worked, was you can either have a newsstand account or you could have a direct market account, but I guess if you have a newsstand account, you're limited as to what titles
could be. I'm not sure 100%, but I know that we all of a sudden got a, here's some sale books, and you order it in, and it comes in with a Barnes or with a Borders sticker on it. It's like, so obviously they were returns. That's one benefit to those guys on the manga stuff. And people ask why I don't carry it. Well, it's because whatever doesn't sell for them, they send back. I can't do that. It's not an option. I don't know. It might have an effect on the bottom line. You'll see a little effect on the sales charts, too, because who knows what Hastings orders would be.
I would think it would hurt Marvel and DC much more than Diamond. Beyond they owe us $1.8 million or whatever it is.
Yeah, and those customers also aren't just going to vanish. Hopefully, you know, a percentage of them will go find a store.
Maybe.
Yeah, unless Hastings put those stores out, but...
Well, but not only that, you know, you have, like with DC, you have Rebirth going on, Marvel, they got Civil War. You know, this is, number ones are a good jumping on point, but they're also a good jumping off point. So, you know, I'm not really enjoying it. My local shop's closing anyway. Maybe they'll wait till trades come out or whatever. So I could see that hurting, kind of the big two more than a Diamond.
Yeah, so we'll see.
But, I think the other piece of this is when you say, well, they're their number one customer. Well, what percentage are they? If they account for 30% of overall sales, well, Diamond is stupid for letting that happen. If they account for 2% of overall sales, yeah, that sucks. I mean, that's profit margin that's going away.
Yeah.
But that's not going to kill Diamond in any way,
shape, or form. Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to for them to be their biggest customer whenever their fellow customers are, people like Colin. I mean, your store is not going to compare to
I'm not a chain of however
many. I even said that to Colin. If Colin's best customer decides today, screw that guy, I'm going to go somewhere else, or I'm just out of comics, it would hurt Colin's bottom line. But it wouldn't shut down the store.
Yeah, because he has a lot of customers.
Right.
They have Diamond, a lot of, local comic shops that are buying from them. It just happens to be that the biggest customer is leaving, but there's still lots of people spending money.
So that's it. We'll find out later, more to come, but, none of my business, too, It's between them and Diamond in the bankruptcy court.
No. Everything's your business.
So, what did everybody read?
Comic books.
Okay. You read any good ones?
Read comic books?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What'd you read, Adam?
Well, I read,
No, nobody read that. That's dumb.
Nobody wanted to read Flash Rebirth?
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
What
Darth Vader.
Okay. So, Darth Vader. You read that, Dave.
Yeah, I read Darth Vader.
I like this book.
It's wrapping up.
Yeah, it's wrapping
last
up.
Last arc.
I really do. But this Brett Afra.
I wonder if we'll get a new number one.
I thought it was really good. Dr. Afra's back.
Yeah.
We'll get Darth Vader now.
Yeah. And I like that's how she's in like a Western-like saloon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah.
Western. That's better than the 50s diner.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's fun. What is the... I can't always forget. I want to call them the battle boss.
BT and 000.
BT and 000 come in to get her. But they come in really violently.
That was hilarious when she's like, the person outside the bar is like, you know, we don't much like droids around here. And 000 is like, you know, well, you're going to like them a lot less when we get to them. it was so good.
You got to like that because the whole no droids thing in a bar because of the first in A New Hope.
Yeah, and yeah.
It's like, we all like their kind.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, the stuff with Vader, going on with Vader
Silo.
And Silo, it's really good. I'm going to miss this book. I really am. I really like this book.
It's not going real far away.
No, I can't imagine that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what's going to happen with the
thing? Although I do love the last panel.
Yeah.
The Vader versus a Rancor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
A modified Rancor.
Yeah.
Wait, you're going to eat while talking about your books?
No.
It's rude. We've been talking about etiquette.
He's going to rub it into the chair.
Oh,
we don't have to do anything about etiquette. You were talking about etiquette. Have better etiquette. Don't interrupt. No. But yeah, Darth Vader. It is. I like this book. I really do. Daredevil number 8. This was really good.
I read that. It was good.
Daredevil, Matt Murdock, it starts off with him playing cards. They're playing, he's in a poker tournament.
Poker tournament in China.
In China, yeah.
Okay.
And
how?
It gets there. It'll get there. So he, the first part of the page, he explains what he's doing. Now, this is why I like the book, is they thought it out really well, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
The cards are coded. So usually how he would see what the cards are is by feel.
Yeah.
Well, being that they're coded, he can't feel it. So he's going on not necessarily what his hand is, but what he's picking up from the other players.
Yeah, he's picking
up. They all have other things saying they have a bad hand. So he can tell, like, this guy's tapping his foot.
Picking up heartbeats.
And he keeps doing that.
All that kind of
this
stuff.
One, she keeps getting angry, or heartbeat keeps getting up every time she gets angry about something. You know, they all have these different quirks about them. So they go through that. I thought that was interesting, just reading it and them showing that. He went this game, and then he's going to go on to the last round of this. And he's outside talking to this woman who kind of comes out of nowhere about it. And she lets him know, you know, you're going up against this guy. His name's Apex. And she's like, you know, he's tough. And he's just like, I forget how it gets into it, but he's like, well, you know, he's a telepath. She's like, what, you already know he's a telepath? And he's like, yeah. And you figure out that's his reasoning for being there. The casino employs him
to
get their money back.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they, according to what she was saying, you know, she told him, well, the casino, why would they let him in to do something like this?
Right.
Because they check for things like this just because of superpowers. And he's just like, well, that's the thing. The casino put him there.
Yeah.
So in it, he uses every, you know, ability he has while he's going up against this guy and kind of throws the guy off a little bit. But I love the scene where they're having this psychic, you know, telepathic battle, like,
yeah,
in the mind, because like this guy's using a sword and stuff,
yeah,
fighting
like
him.
Done like an action sequence.
Yeah. And
as they're
Matt
battling
decides to box
their minds.
Him, and he boxes him so much that even in the real world, his nose starts to bleed. And he's out of he loses and he passes out. And I always thought it was kind of odd that nobody was just like, wait, this was kind of extreme for a poker game that he just got knocked out at the end of it. Yeah,
but the interesting thing is, too, the way Apex sees through people's eyes, so of course he can't see Daredevil's cards, Matt's cards.
Because he's blind.
Because Matt's blind. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
It's just, and then the hotel puts him up in a room, but they're wanting to keep him there, basically, is why. And that's what he says.
And now he's a whale. They got to keep him there.
Thing about it is, he's exactly where they want him to be, or where he wants to be.
Yeah.
So he is going to, you know, this was part of his plan. So it was a good issue. My only concern with this issue is, how did he get here? Like, it just kind of abruptly comes in and he's playing cards.
They have flights to China every day.
Yeah, that's true.
At the beginning, there's a flashback. My question.
He walks in.
You can't walk in China like that.
Stage left. No, there's something at the beginning that the black hat said. You don't. He's looking for something or in China, and he says, like, there's a flashback of him, like, fighting with someone saying, the black hat, put it there.
Yeah.
Put something there in China. And
I don't think the black cats don't do well in China.
I know.
Oh, that's awful.
But then you want to say...
They're superstitious, see?
Oh, yeah.
You want to say he shows up on the last page, Adam? He shows up on the last page?
Oh, yeah, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
So I didn't know where that was going.
Spider-Man's in China now?
He can be now, though, because he has a base of operations in China. Parker Industries right there. All he's got to do is swing over.
So stuff's not American.
He just swings over to China. That's how they get over there. He swung in.
Dr. Spiderman strikes again.
That's right. But, so that's Daredevil. This issue is really good. Legends of Tomorrow, number 4.
I thought you were going to say Zelda. Okay.
So, I read half of it. I read Firestorm and Metal Men.
Yeah.
I didn't read the middle yet.
I thought you were a Sugar and Spike fanatic now.
Sugar and Spike, but I didn't pick the book up until yesterday.
Oh, okay.
It was really long.
Tell him to go back.
A bit too seductively.
Yeah.
FYI.
Dave?
I can't say it again.
Oh, I started reading while Adele was in karate, and I read
you were the one who said it,
the Firestorm issue in it. I didn't like it at all.
I really
couldn't care less about this Firestorm story.
So far, my two favorite in this book were
Spider-Man,
Sugar and Spike. He keeps chiming.
And Adventure Time.
Are you drunk?
Go
or
back
something?
To my hole. Yeah. I will.
Sugar and Spike. And Metal Man. Metal Man was really good.
Well, that's after I read Firestorm. I was like, I'm going to read the one that I know for sure I'm really going to enjoy, and that's Metal Man. So yeah. I turned to that.
Sugar and Spike was really good. While I'm talking about Sugar and Spike, dealt with Green Lantern. Green Lantern, they go to this time in his past where he used to have, I vaguely remember this, he had this companion that was a little alien flower that sat on his shoulder, and it would talk to him. It was like telepathic. And,
Audrey 3?
Yes,
I remember that too.
It's no better than Superman Island. So. And they bring that up in this issue. They're just like, it's no weirder than Superman Island.
Feed me, Hal. Feed me now.
Yes. But he sees that in this museum now they have this flower who he calls Itty.
Pieface?
His name's Itty. And he sees it in there and he wants them to go see what's wrong with it because it used to be his partner, he says. So they go to this museum. The museum's run by the supervillain. I forget his name. He's like Lamplighter or something. He was one of these old Silver Age villains. But he gave it all up and he started a museum for superhuman exhibits. One of them being the leaf or Itty, who's the flower. And you figure out in this that the girl who was in the Superman Island issue, who was leading the little toys and everything on that issue, is behind this as well. And she came to get one, but she has one. And they were planning on getting the other. And you figure out that there's a whole thing involved in this. I don't want to give away too much of it. But of why he's there, why they have another one of these flowers. And you know, they're just trying to get this one back out of the museum, and that's basically what it's about, and to fix this. So,
are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I'm thinking this sounds really weird.
Oh, okay. It's a weird book.
Adam's not explaining it well.
It's hard to explain because there's a lot in this.
What I was thinking Adam pronounces museum weird.
I will agree with you. Museum.
Yeah, very weird. You said it once, and I thought, okay, fluke. We'll let it go. Then a second time, and then a third time, I was like, oh, no, that's just how he says it.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Does that one have Colin's a planet?
After
the third time, what Keller? At me.
What Keller
I don't
was?
Say
the,
Keller.
What Keller is that flower?
Never said Keller at all. So,
is it a regular color or a water color?
Keller.
He's saying Keller people in Pittsburgh say Keller, which Keller. They do. I've heard it a lot.
I can't even force myself to say that word.
I can't either. It's Keller. Anyway, so we figured out that people say weird things, but. But yeah, this is a fun book, just going back a little bit into the Silver Age stuff a little bit, picking fun at it. And that's basically what this book is, Sugar and Spike is. So it has to be the most fun book in this little collection. Firestorm, I don't even remember what happened in Firestorm, to tell you the truth. It was, they were able
Firestorm
to get him away
was captured,
from,
and he was being held in like this bubble thing that was destabilizing their matrix. So at the same time, Jason realized something was wrong and communicated with them with this helmet thing and realized he had to go help them out. It was just, it was kind of boring, that's all.
Yeah. Wasn't it? And then it went back to the villain, multiple guy.
I thought this thing was a four issue miniseries.
I thought so too, but it didn't even say conclude in it. I don't think at the end of that.
Did they extend it, Colin?
Which
that Legends of Tomorrow was four issues.
Maybe they were all going.
I thought six.
Because Swamp Thing.
Because I think they were all supposed to be like six issue minis, and they just kind of combined them all into one book.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
Metamorpho is good. I've liked it. But he's considered the chosen one.
Is he in a museum?
That he's. No, Kip. I didn't make any promises, so. Anyway.
There's an opening at the store.
Okay. There isn't. There wasn't one when I was here. I started here either.
Well, you didn't really start. You just kind of kept hanging around.
Stop going home.
Yeah. So, they said get out, and he didn't know where else to go. They made him leave the library. Made him leave McDonald's.
He's never gone to a library.
True. He doesn't know what... Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
He goes to the library.
Library.
Well played,
thank
sir.
You, Josh.
But Metamorpho is considered the chosen one in all this, on this planet, where he's taking back this orb where he got his powers from.
So you're not always the target.
And...
Preach.
He talks to basically the creator of this planet, who he has to return this orb to, I don't remember if he had to take it or he was getting the orb, because he had to return it to somewhere to stabilize the planet again, like it was to bring it back to like peace or whatever. And he gains the orb again. He is able, now he has to take it back, but he stopped Kanjaro, who wants it for himself. And at the end of this, you learn that the girl that he's been hanging out with takes it, and you think she's going to return it to where it's supposed to be, but then she calls her father on a phone, which is kind of odd because she's on another dimension, so I don't know what kind of service she has. But she was able to deal with that, was able to call him. It turns out she's betraying him in some way, shape, or form. So, and then Metal Men
had to seek
really
refuge
good.
In the Watchtower.
Yeah,
with a Cyborg.
They had to seek refuge in the Watchtower.
With Cyborg.
Yeah.
Again, listener, they had to seek refuge in the Watchtower.
Look, we're
going to
be here for another 35 minutes with him.
No, because Josh said that, and then you just repeated it. I'm sorry.
Just say, I don't remember what happened and move on.
I do remember what happened. All right.
So what happened?
Okay. So he, I don't know anymore what happened. I really don't. Go on.
Oh, you're gonna throw this.
I can't remember. This crap I lost show to everything in all this.
Adam just lost this rap battle.
So while they are seeking refuge in the watchtower, the general whose name I can't remember
yeah, it's a weird.
I was about to say something. Never mind. I'm not gonna say it. But the general
disarray.
I was gonna say the lady general, but.
There's two generals in both of these stories, and I keep mixing up their names, because in Firestorm, there's a general.
Firestorm, there's Mustache General, and Metal Man, there's Lady General.
Yes.
So, Lady General has the other doctor, who I thought was friends with Magnus, but she ends up making her own set of Metal Men with materials they had there. This was, like, copper, silicon, zirconia. Mm-hmm. Or zirconium.
I thought aluminum was kind of funny aluminum, because his power is basically wrapping people in aluminum foil.
Yeah. So she makes six Metal Men, and they decide they have to try and bait the Metal Men out to get them to come out of hiding.
Yeah.
And so the Metal Men think they have a lead on the nameless dude. The boy has no face or no name. And they go out and stop this big...
He's no one.
No one. They go out and stop this big, you know, ordeal, find out he's actually the calculator.
Yeah.
And as they're about to take him in, then the general with the other Metal Men team shows up.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're about to square off, but then...
What cyborg?
But then Mr. Robotman comes in and argues that the Metal Men are real people.
He did that somewhere in between. Yeah, he was able to figure out that it's unconstitutional for them to...
Yeah, because they...
That's because they're sentient.
They're sentient, yeah. So he says the general, they're not property, that she can't take them, but she's going to fight it.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. So feel free to repeat any of that.
It's fun because, like, this issue is really fun. This book is really fun because it... It's so different from his style, from, like, what he's doing with Swamp Thing. That it doesn't feel old, like his old style of writing, like Swamp Thing does.
This feels like a modern, like a contemporary modern book, whereas Swamp Thing feels like a hybrid between a contemporary book and a more classic book. But this feels firmly contemporary.
Yeah, it is. It's a really. I think this one could have survived on its own. Outside of this book. I almost feel like they should have put Swamp Thing in this book.
Swamp Thing has more name recognition than Metal Men.
That's the thing, though. So. I always thought I thought this would do better just because of Geoff Johns writing that story in Forever Evil that people had it. But again,
if
you're not getting
out,
new readers.
If it
like
came
that.
Out a year and a half ago.
That's the thing. So, but yeah. So that is Legends of Tomorrow. I still like it. It's fun to have this book just to have so much in it. And for the price that it is.
You're essentially getting four $2 comics.
Yeah. So it's worth it. I'm going to talk about 4001 AD Bloodshot because I love this.
Go for it.
I thought this was a really good.
Go for it.
A really good book.
Do it.
I loved how it tied into
Jack and Coke. Do it
a little bit.
Bloodshot in the museum.
He was actually.
He was actually. Yeah.
Why'd you ruin it? He was in a seance.
But he. Yeah, they had to find out. What I liked about this is how it ties into the Book of Death story. That's what I really liked about this, and I was just able to read that book.
Yeah, it referenced whenever Ray died in the streets at the end of his tie-in issue for Book of Death.
Yeah. But he wakes up as the as this sector is falling out of the sky.
Who's he?
Oh, yeah. Well, you believe it's almost, you feel like it's, yeah, you kind of feel like it's Ray, but it starts to explain that it isn't.
Yeah, that it has the memories, but it's not actually Ray. Ray
is dead.
Ray self expired.
Yeah, and you saw that actually in Book of Death, his demise. And
So after Ray died in Book of Death, they essentially separated the nanites from Ray's body and tried to infuse the nanites with AI and make them their own entity. They thought it failed, so then they, you know, put them into some... I don't know if they put them back in the Ray's body, or if they just put them into some...
It's like stasis or something.
Well, yeah, but it looked like young Ray, so I don't know. I think maybe it was just almost like some sort of like mannequin-type thing that they put them in and put them on display in the museum.
Just to show off. Because...
See, you're looking a little befuddled right now. This is how he feels when we gang up on him, though.
Yeah, but he kind of loses it for a while.
It's been a long day.
He's so happy. And that it's he's
just
on target.
It's
funny. Well, and the problem is you can't even call the episode that because it won't translate.
No. The episode is going to be called Etiquette, so not worried about that. But thank you. Appreciate it.
No problem.
But he's a, the.
That's what you're thinking.
The nanites are able to find, conveniently, a flesh-creating 3D printer.
The fleshy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like me to play music?
No.
Okie dokie.
But as it's trying to make, it can't fully done because
crashes. It makes like the head, and that's really it.
Yeah.
But it makes Ray's head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's similar to Ray's head. It's not quite the same.
And there's nothing really in it, but the nanites kind of holding it up. Because you could see them through the eyes.
Yeah.
So it's just a hollow mask. It's basically wearing a Halloween mask.
So it's like the nanites form a, you know, a body that is just made up of all these, like, you know, red nanites with this head on top and then gloves and a utility belt.
Yeah. That's all we really needed. Yeah. One of my favorite things about it was where... the red circle is usually on his chest. It was an
empty hole, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it, you just could see right through
it. It was cool how they inverted it.
Yeah.
But it had to complete its mission.
It had to complete its mission, which I love where it ended up, because that ended up back at Book of Death, that story of Book of Death. But he's basically walking to where he needs to go, I took it. I mean, that's what it looked like. He's driving. He was driving a vehicle.
He was driving a vehicle. Then he encountered
lost the vehicle
those.
At one point.
He encountered those dudes in that big highway.
Different places, like
yeah.
Where, however, things are happening on that section of Earth. Like it's kind of a post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, he's trying to get to his place in Russia.
Yeah, and he gets there. He has this box, and he sets it down, opens it, and he figures out that his mission was to lay Ray's body to rest.
Yeah, it was Ray's sarcophagus.
That way, because he had, like, memories. He still was the nanites were still dealing with the memories.
Yeah, so the whole plan to fuse him with the AI ended up being successful. It just took longer than they thought it would.
Yeah.
So these nanites suddenly had become sentient. They had feelings and had these memories and had almost a sense of loyalty.
Yeah.
To Ray and duty as to what they should do next.
It took a while. Like, they over those years, they almost evolved.
Yeah.
That was kind of neat about it.
But the one memory that it seemed to have was of him and Magic when they were old, which we just found out that never happened.
But he still had the memory of it.
But the way I thought it was explained was the nanites caused that false memory intentionally.
No, that memory wasn't false. Whatever Ninjak and Livewire were implanted, it was false, but it wasn't the nanites causing it intentionally. That was Project Rising Spirit causing it to keep Ray under control.
Okay.
In the first Bloodshot volume, whenever Valiant relaunched, that showed more the state that Ray was in, where Project Rising Spirit were implanting him with these false memories. He thought that he was this normal soldier. Okay. Who had a family and was going off on these missions, but in actuality, what he was seeing through his eyes was different than what was going on in real life. Like, he was seeing himself in a platoon carrying out this mission, you know, that other soldiers might be carrying out, when in actuality he was, you know, this Bloodshot character on these covert operations by himself and everything else is what he was imagining.
Yeah. Okay.
So this was kind of the same thing, where they implanted him with these memories to try and keep him under control, but then the nanites kicked in And, well, actually, it wasn't the nanites. It was the virus to the nanites that they implanted him with whenever they tapped him on the shoulder after the Valiant miniseries. They kicked in and showed him Ninjak and showed him Livewire and snapped him out of it.
Okay. Yeah, I took it as that whole thing was caused by the nanites, so why are the nanites remembering that?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it was kind of neat, though, the ending, where the nanites are able to just let him go, and then they kind of take on their own, kind of, they don't need necessarily a vessel like that.
They go on a walkabout.
So they kind of do their own thing, and now that's their journey. And I liked, because at the end it said, I'm pretty sure this was the end, the one that said the beginning, or something mm-hmm. like that,
yeah.
instead of the end.
Because for them, it was the start of a new chapter.
It was just really well done.
A new Bloodshot.
So, no, I did. I think this one, I really liked the first one, I think. No, not EXO.
EXO was the first
one. Yeah, it was the third one, whatever that one was. But this was my favorite, of the tie-ins.
Bloodshot was the third one.
The second one.
The second one?
Yeah.
Okay.
EXO was first.
Yeah, I wasn't sure there's two or three out so far.
The Rye stuff. The first one was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, because we have Shadow Man next, then we have War Mother. That's right.
Yeah. So, but yeah. But that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Sheriff of Babylon. This was a really brutal issue. In the last issue, Nasir's wife had been killed. They don't come out and say it, but it's essentially CIA. They say she's armed when she wasn't. So in this, he's being interrogated, and they at first try to play good cop, bad cop, but he's not playing into that. And he breaks one guy's teeth with his head. And then finally they take him out to the middle of the desert and see this hole's for you. We're going to shoot you in the head if you don't tell us what we want to hear. And then eventually they say, okay, well, we'll try again tomorrow, which that kind of loses its effectiveness, but whatever. But the whole thing, it was very brutal to see the ends that they would go to get information. They didn't waterboard or anything like that. Some of the stuff that we know that was done. But this is kind of... I think this is where Tom King's past life's knowledge plays in a little bit better. And the other thing that we find out was the woman, Sophia, had a miscarriage. And that was... The assumption is it's probably Christopher's child. This has just been an outstanding series. But like I said, this issue was a little bit more brutal than some of the other ones. Wacky Raceland. So, the notes here I have is WTF.
Mm-hmm.
It was good, but wow. Yeah. it was brutal. And in a lot of places, I had to stop, go back, and reread. Basically, the premise is the world is ending, and the announcer, who at this point is a disembodied voice, has saved, I think there was 8 different racers, made their car sentient, and they worked together as a team basically to do these races. And the winner, after the series of races, will get to go to Utopia, and the rest will just be dead. This is not Wacky Racers like we remember. They go to a bar. People keep hitting on Penelope Pit Stop, and she beats the hell out of them.
They used the word asshat 3 different times.
Yeah. Muttley is a cyborg dog, and he rips one guy's throat out at one point.
I think Muttley was what Velma wanted Scooby-Doo to be.
Okay.
And that weird cyborg Scooby-Doo that's in this Scooby Apocalypse book.
You just don't get emojis from...
No.
Although he did laugh.
Yes.
He did laugh, which was good.
It's not exactly the sound, you know, how you read it exactly, but I thought it worked for this story.
Yeah.
You just knew what it was.
Yeah.
You know, Dick Dastardly was a bastard throughout the whole thing, and Penelope kept calling him that. She hit him a few times, too.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want to say they were working together. Clearly, they were racing against each other, but there was, like, a camaraderie between the teams because... They were kind of in the situation together. WTF was the only thing I could say, but I really enjoyed it. It was just like, I don't know what the hell I read.
I kind of strongly disliked it.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought it was...
I didn't dislike it, but I want to see more. I don't know what to make of it.
Kind of a cluster F.
Like it was all over the place.
It was really a mess.
It was.
I mean, like it seemed like there was way too much going on for first issue. It was super convoluted and just really messy with how things were laid out and the pacing. That backup story, didn't have any place being there in that first issue. I liked the art a lot, but that was really the only thing that I enjoyed.
I think the thing is, you know, with Future Quest, they are the characters we remember. They're finding a way to bring them together, so there's less introduction and world building that kind of has to be done. Whereas with this, you've made it so different than what we know. It did get all over the place at times. Yeah. As I say, it's pretty rare I got to go back in a comic and reread things.
Like this, I feel like should have started out on a smaller scale and then built to this big.
Kind of like spend a couple issues recruiting and...
Yeah, something.
Or explaining
just,
how the race works. Or
it just... We had like a... I feel like a race montage already, you know, in that first issue. It seemed too...
I think it could have used, for lack of a better word, a little more charm than...
Yeah, I'll give you that, too.
Like Future Quest and Scooby Apocalypse has had... Because it was just so nihilistic and everything, you know, for the most part. I mean, I kind of liked it, but...
I felt like it tried to be a lot of different things, and it didn't succeed at any of them.
I mean, I had Pat's reaction to WTF, you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
Like... Trying to be a little bit Wacky Racers, trying to be a little bit Mad Max.
Yeah.
Trying to be a little bit Death Race.
I think it just tipped a little too far.
Yeah, I don't
totally know what's going on because nothing really happened in this issue, too. Like, how the race works. You don't see, like, okay, how do they win? Like, you saw a little bit of a race.
All we saw
win,
in this issue was bickering and
bar
one
fights.
Race.
Yeah.
And a one page. You know, splash, like,
and it's not like anything happens to anybody
Penelope.
If they, like, you didn't see anybody, like, die or anything. Like,
well, yeah, so what happened, you know, whoever's the
so
last...
So they all win? They all just win? Like,
well, no, but you would think, okay, whoever's in last place dies.
Is eliminated or something,
but,
like, by death. Yeah.
But then it could really only go 8 issues at that point, you know, so I don't know.
I probably won't buy the second issue.
I want to see where it goes.
Yeah,
here's my thing. With Rebirth... I thought that my pull list was going to go down a little bit, and now it seems like my pull list actually going to go up beyond what it was. So, whereas I may previously have given a book a bit longer, I said the art was the only thing that I really, you know, enjoyed. So with that, I don't feel like, for me personally, there's much to build on, so I'm not gonna go back again. Yeah. But, I mean, not to say that...
I think it's the weakest
other people to get something out of
so
it, but,
far,
yeah.
The Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah,
I haven't read Scooby, so I don't know what I've seen of the Flintstones.
So far is Future Quest.
Yeah,
I'm not interested in the Flintstones.
I wasn't interested, and then I read an article today about it, about like the tone of the book and what it really focuses on. And it kind of got me more intrigued.
Okay,
so we'll see. I'll check it out.
Green Lantern's Edge of Oblivion.
So, yeah.
This was the last issue of the series. And, you know, it starts off with a Guy, what was that last issue where Guy was explaining? It was a flashback to him as a kid. I had to read 5 and 6 back to back today.
That was last issue.
Okay, all right. So, Guy went and attacked these two beings, and then we find out that they're not.
That was last issue. Whenever he set up the bomb, and we found out that they were
the World Eater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. See, I thought again because I had to read them back.
This issue, they were already fighting them, and they were the World Eaters. Yeah.
Okay.
But this issue, the Lanterns had, you know, seemingly come to terms with the idea that they were trapped there. They weren't going to get back home, and all they could do was make sure these clowns couldn't move on to another universe after they were done and wreck havoc again. The issue, well, that's the thing. So the issue is quite good, except we called it back in issue like 1 or 2 of this. Whenever Arisia got sucked in to that rift, we said back then, oh, that's probably how. That probably takes them back to the other universe, and surely enough, that's how they get back to the other universe.
One of the rings, when one of the Lanterns dies, the ring takes off, and they say, wait, didn't go back to Mogo, it contacted our universe.
Yeah.
So Simon Baz decides he's going to sacrifice himself and follow it, and that's apparently how he got back to our universe.
Yeah, by going through that tear. So it was good, but predictable in how it was in a...
Right. But that's just it. I mean, we know that they're not going to wipe out the entire Green Lantern Corps.
We knew they were going to do that, but that thing they showed us back in the very beginning didn't have to be the way back.
They could have done that later.
But so, now we know that, you know, Arisia Rab and... who else got sucked in? I forget.
Badge.
Okay, yeah. We know that they're not dead.
But here's the question. So, we know Simon Baz got back to Earth. Where's everyone else? You know, where's Mogo? You know, where's John? Where's Kilowog? Because if he got back to Earth...
Well, that's where Hal's going to find out.
Well, but that's just it. Okay, so he makes it back through, and he decides he's going to hang out in Detroit and clean terrorists off his sister's house. I would think he would have went back to say, okay, hey, guys, yeah, this is how you get...
Maybe he couldn't. Maybe the terror wasn't manifested in that universe.
I just, you know, Hal goes off
maybe,
to investigate.
I mean, who knows
Simon's
if they even get put back,
on Earth
at the same time.
Well, yeah, and that's the other possibility I thought of, is maybe it's not just space, but it's also time, and they're somewhere else.
Yeah.
Could be. It was a predictable ending.
But it was good, though. It was a good miniseries.
It wasn't a bad miniseries.
It was a good battle. It was nice seeing all the Lanterns finally converge that were, you know, over there. It was a great miniseries, even if it was a little predictable in how they were going to get back. But.
Detective.
I really enjoyed Detective. I really, really enjoyed it. Yeah, this was great, and I like that. It seems like Batwoman's kind of going to be the focus of who's training this team.
Mm-hmm. With Tim Drake as her lieutenant, which I think that's a good choice. Mm-hmm. What kind of surprised me about it though, and I didn't read Batwoman, so I'm not as familiar with her character. The trust wasn't there, and you know, I get the fact that they're cousins and all, but the trust factor between Batman and her didn't seem to be there as much, and that's a big deal for him to say, I'm not going to train them, you're going to train them, because my way doesn't work.
Yeah.
But it's not like she's really the team player either.
Well, their issues, I think, were different. Not so much her not being a team player, but I think there are greater issues between her and Bruce.
Because clearly there's still a trust thing between them.
And even in her book, she was essentially blackmailed by the DEO to try and help take down Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
At one point. So there are several issues there between those characters, and I think they've fundamentally disagreed on how to operate in certain situations, so they've kind of stayed separate. But it is good to see, you know, like him reference their blood ties, essentially, since his mom was a Kane, and see her, you know, brought more into the Bat family.
Yeah, I just, when you think of the normal Bat family characters, the first one I would have picked to do that, and I know why they didn't, would have been Dick, because he's led a team, you know, in the Titans, he's been Batman, so he, you know...
Yeah, he has military experience, though.
But I think they want him to focus on Titans and his own book
right now.
And I
get that, but that's, I mean, just immediately, that would be the one that I would have...
Yeah, would, but this is a
and
good
maybe
way...
maybe that's the obvious choice.
This is a good way to boost this character.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
And shine a light on a bunch of other, you know, secondary characters, and also bring a bunch of people together in with Bruce and Batman.
Because she's been so separated from everything. And I think they want to bring that character back after also, you know, after the fiasco that they had with that.
Yeah.
That I think they're wanting to bring that character more into the light and do some different things with her.
Maybe they'll let her get married this time.
They should, really. They should.
They should, yeah.
You know, I don't want to go into that, but...
Except she's not dating Maggie anymore.
But, yeah. No, that's...
Now she's with Rachel, who makes avocado toast.
DC knew it wasn't going to work out.
That's right, yeah.
They knew it wasn't going to work out.
Like, you're young, you're being impulsive.
Yeah, DC tried to let her know, but she wouldn't listen because she's a fictional character. And, you know, it all worked out. It all worked out. They can write her however they want her to be. She'll agree if they write her to agree.
Yeah. Easy.
And I think Clayface is an interesting addition.
I thought so,
did not see how that was going to work. And, man, his introduction in this was really kind of, you know, heart-wrenching.
It was sad, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
it was...
the last two, I remember they brought him into a book a while back, and he was kind of... He didn't want to do crime anymore. Like, that wasn't what he was doing, to a point where he could have, like, broke out of his cell, but he didn't, or something like that. They had something not too long ago with dealing with him like that.
It almost reminds me of what they did with the original Rhino.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he wanted to reform.
Yeah. And took that right back to where it was.
But that's, you know, and
this is what they did with Killer Croc.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain Batman, like the Joker, this wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But there are certain Batman villains, Killer Croc being one, you know, him being one, where you can say, you know, an accident happened, they're kind of victims of circumstance here more than anything else, or, you know, not an accident in Killer Croc, but, you know, he had the condition, and he's kind of a victim of what has happened to him.
It's an interesting idea. The thing is, and I don't know what's happening ever since Croc joined Catwoman. But you could have done pretty well the same thing with Killer Croc. Bring him into this. But I think they have a plan with him, though.
But
I think
the fact
that he can turn into other people
the Egyptian stuff the way Killer Croc did.
Yeah, Killer Croc did.
I loved whenever all the Bat family throw out their grappling hooks and went flying off. And he's like, what am I supposed to do?
I don't hate this, but I wish Tim Drake looked like his new 52 costume. I wish they would have kept it.
A lot of people were happy he looks more like a Robin.
My problem with it, I think it separated him like Nightwing is separated from Robin. It gave him his own character.
Yeah, but
people
were upset that he never... That in
they never
New
acknowledged
he was never
Robin.
Truly a Robin.
Yeah.
So this, I think, they wanted to kind of show him
but in
as
a way, still Red Robin.
Right, but I think that, you know,
so it doesn't really change, but the look. But
yeah,
I mean, I get what you're saying.
You
I completely
still have
understand.
Robin out there because Damian's still there.
Yeah.
So you know, you can't have three different people claiming the mantle of Robin.
They all have the same,
you know,
the same look.
Although, you know, I guess with Duke, they're going to call him something else.
I mean, it's nice to see him as Robin again, like looking like Robin. But I didn't really have any hatred towards that look that he had, the wings and stuff like that. I thought, I thought it kind of separated him from, not just Robbins, but like the fact that he could actually fly was kind of neat. Just, I don't know, something different. We'll see. Does he throw R's?
Mm-hmm.
He used to throw R's. Oh, wait till you read Justice League. Discs.
That was very cool.
Okay.
Very cool.
Action.
I loved action.
Liked action quite a bit.
I thought that was great.
I did too. And again, not being a Superman guy, this was good. The very beginning, I thought of Dash from The Incredibles with his son, where it's like, yes, you have powers, you shouldn't be ashamed of them, but you can't use them.
Yeah.
You can't expose us. And then when Luthor shows up wearing the symbol,
pissed him off.
Yeah, he was like, "No, can't have that."
Runs to the trunk, pulls out the red and blues.
Grab the mirror to shave with the.
I love that. I love the shaving scene. Cause I'm like, what's he gonna do with the piece of glass? And then he's using it to reflect and focus his heat vision to burn off the facial hair.
I love how they stick with that because, like, they had that contest going around for a while, I think, when Man of Steel came out.
Yeah, how it's human shave.
It's just like, we've seen him shave. He's done it in the comics with the mirror. And he's done that for a while. But, yeah, they just don't... Nobody reads comics.
But, yeah, I thought that was really good. But now the question is, who was Clark?
I am wondering if
it's Clayface.
Somehow that is
new 52 Clark
without his powers.
Well, we don't know he's without his powers. But
I have a feeling he's without his powers.
And that might be good because it allows Clark to be Clark.
And it gives them a way to say that, no, Clark isn't Superman.
You know who it is?
Clark's here.
It's Dr. Manhattan. He made a Clark Kent out of the dust. Just so he can watch.
Dr. Manhattan explodes people. He doesn't create people.
I saw that once in a museum.
Yeah? I read about it in a library.
He doesn't like this.
Okay. Yeah, I think we talked about all the other the Rebirth titles.
Did we do Flash and Aquaman?
We talked about Wonder Woman briefly.
Yeah, we talked about them.
You talked about Flash, Adam, a little bit earlier. You didn't talk about it
but
your turn.
We skipped it.
Well, no, we kind of talked about it when we were talking about when we were answering the questions. We kind of talked about them.
Yeah. The only thing I wanted to say about Wonder Woman. I had one little gripe with Wonder Woman. A very minor one, though. The lasso of truth just compels someone to tell the truth when they know the truth. This, it seemed like the lasso of truth...
She was saying the truth,
but she didn't know
she
that.
She didn't know it, yeah.
So why would she be compelled to say it, something she didn't know?
Or maybe she did know.
She couldn't handle
thinking
it?
It pulls out your subconscious?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems a bit too... Too complex. I figure it was just if you know this and you're lying, you have to tell the truth.
That's what it always seemed like originally.
Yeah. But instead, like, she wraps it around her arm and she starts asking herself questions and then answering herself these things that she had no idea about.
It doesn't, like, pull truth out of your brain that you
it doesn't suddenly make you all-knowing.
But you do know that the guy that created Wonder Woman is the same guy...
The lie detector.
The lie detector. So, yeah, I mean...
He was also in a lot of weird stuff.
He was.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Well,
but it just, it almost played it off as the lasso of truth was like the Mobius chair. And that she could just wrap it around her arm and ask herself questions and then be...
It's almost like, why doesn't she just sew that into something
because
she'd have all knowledge?
It wouldn't have... If she would have said, who's the Joker? I don't think she would have been able to say
it.
It would
have to pull it out of her own brain.
Right, yeah. But... That information was
there. So these
there.
Are things that were
That's
kinda
assuming
locked
away. That she knew those things, that it was there.
It seemed like the things that she was pulling out were like things that were locked in her brain.
She wouldn't know.
Almost like repressed memories.
She wouldn't have in her brain her exact origin. Like, she wouldn't have those memories.
Because she wouldn't remember it.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't think you could dig into my brain and go back to me.
I used to be somehow a really good swimmer.
But I don't think you could go back and find memories buried in my brain about, you know, birth. Like,
no. Well, technically, yes, you could.
Or maybe,
it records everything. It's
maybe that wasn't.
You can access.
They're still there, aren't they? They're still there.
It's on Betamax, and it's really hard to.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's not what it was doing. It was showing those images to you to see, but it was explaining the stories that she knows. Like, it's more of what people have told her, and it was showing you what she sees of that. I don't think it was actually showing you what she remembered.
I still call shenanigans.
I mean, yeah, I think it's
odd,
I get it,
but I think it's shenanigans.
It just seemed like they really upped the power level of The Lasso of Truth in this one issue. What is essentially happening is she is trying to figure out exactly who she is and where she comes from and what her place is, because she feels like she doesn't really fit into these different, you know, roles that she is. Has been told, like, you know, was she made of clay or was she born of Zeus? Is she the god of war? Things like that. And she starts asking herself these questions to find out she has been lied to over the years. And there's something missing. And it plays in the whole 10 years being missing with rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
But she wraps her own arm with Lasso of Truth and starts asking herself these questions and then answering herself, which is leading us to think that the Lasso of Truth is somehow, you know, bringing out these memories that are, you know, deeply buried in her subconscious,
almost,
or
like
giving her this, you know, omnipotent ability to be all knowing.
Yeah.
That was my only minor gripe. That part just kind of threw me off a little bit, but otherwise it was a great issue.
That's a good question.
Indeed.
No word overthink it.
Yeah.
So what'd you read, Dave?
Only other one I read, we haven't mentioned, is Empress number 3. By Mark Miller and Stuart Immonen. This was a good issue. It's this. This is millions of years ago. The Earth's first rulers and the Queen Empora is on the run from her husband King Morax. With her, she's on the run with her children because he's a tyrant and a dictator and just a horrible, overall bad person.
So he's a bad mother.
And so, I mean, the entire series has pretty much been a chase sequence as they're jumping in the ship from planet to planet, trying to get to her sister's home planet. And this issue starts off on, so they're on like an ice planet, and they figure out it's a royal conservation reserve, and where King Morax keeps all these animals/monsters. So they have to fight them, and then they travel from planet to planet and have to, you know, eat a couple panels on each planet, and it's not a good situation, so they have to keep jumping, and then they end up on this planet, Golgoth, of course, which isn't a pretty place, desolate, with sandstorms, and they end up stuck on this planet because there's a giant dust storm and the ship needs to see where it's jumping and they can't see through the dust storm, so they're all together. But I think it's been good. Art's really nice, and it's just, like I said, it's moving at a breakneck speed. Kind of reminds me of Chrononauts a little bit with what he did there, just as far as kinetic energy in the book. But
that book was paced out really well.
As far as the pacing, uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's all I had.
We read it all. We talked about it.
Talked about it, everything else. And I'll mention just one more thing about Wonder Woman, but I like the explanation of Wonder Woman, of her name, Wonder.
I did like that.
And how...
Yeah, that was pretty
how,
cool.
I never thought of that before, but you look at her and like wonder who she is and where she comes from and all that stuff, and that really made me relate to the character more, and I thought that was an excellent work by them.
Agreed.
Thank you, Josh.
I don't have any other books.
No. That I would. Did we talk about Aquaman?
Yes.
We talked about how
very
it was,
briefly.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah, because Josh very said new reader friendly. It was very similar.
I almost thought it was almost too new reader friendly.
That's what we're saying. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's it. Yeah, holy cow. Because we covered everything.
Oh. Well, then what's coming out next week, Colin?
I'm out of here. See ya.
You weren't ready. You didn't have a list.
I was not ready.
Pat, are you doing
I have the list. I'm good, man. Thank ready. You. I just didn't have it in my hands.
Dave, Adam.
No, I'm good.
I'm good. The whole point of having a salad for dinner was kind of negated
well,
by...
Well, there's two people at home.
Yeah.
They might want
them. Or you could eat them on the
they way. Had dessert at the carnival, and Adele took a donut for the car.
Okay. Next week, Adam, we got our damage return form next week. Oh, I'm giddy. 14 straight months. Woo! We have Action 958. Action Man, which is from IDW, and it sounds like it's a British hero, and basically he's the world's greatest secret agent, and all of a sudden he's killed, and now his...
Wasn't that great?
Wasn't that the British version of G.I. Joe?
No, that was Captain Action. This is different. Oh, this is
no,
Action
I
Man.
Thought it was, I thought it was Action Man.
Oh, maybe
Action
it is.
Man.
Okay. But the premise on this is the world's greatest secret agent is killed, and all of a sudden his apprentice now has to step up, ready or not, okay, to take over his role. Aquaman number one. Archie number...
Same premise of the Vito De La Sante book.
This book's just copying everybody. I don't know the premise.
Well, I mean, he did it before Action Man.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, that's what I'm saying. That book's out of control.
Aquaman number one. Archie number nine. Autumn Lands, Tooth and Claw.
Oh, it's about time.
Yeah, that one had been a while. I have more Captain America Sam Wilson, which is a Civil War tie-in. I also have more copies of Captain America Steve Rogers coming in, first prints.
Hail Hydra. Sam Wilson's AIM.
Civil War II, Choosing Sides, number one, so we can start having them choosing sides.
We don't care.
DC The New Frontier paperback is finally coming out. Not finally, this is when it was scheduled to come out, but after the death of Darwin Cook, this one's gotten a lot of play, so it's nice to be getting the paperback in, especially because the hardcover is now out of print.
I finally watched the movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was very interesting.
Now, there are a lot of differences. We were watching the commentary and him talking about how they had to leave certain scenes out and how they combined some things to make things happen.
But just how they really gave it a Silver Age feel.
Oh, that was the whole thing.
I mean, that was, and you know, the stuff with Kennedy essentially being the president and all.
Well,
that
the whole title is him talking about the new frontier.
Right. No, but actually having him in there is because I knew nothing about it until I watched the movie, and it was like, it's a different take, but I really liked it.
Yep. For Pat, Dracula versus Gambit. I know you're excited about that. Dracula. Who doesn't love... I mean, I'm sorry, Deadpool versus Gambit. Deadpool, Dracula's Gauntlet.
Big difference.
No, but Deadpool's... Deadpool.
I actually probably would read Dracula versus Gambit.
That's really interesting.
Huh? Deadpool, Dracula's Gauntlet is right above that on the list. Sorry.
I won't buy that one because that was a digital-only one.
We were going to buy
the Dracula's Gauntlet. But how long ago was that? That it's now just finally coming out in paperback?
At least two years ago? Number one was a free one.
Yeah, a long time
ago. And it was, I think, 2013.
Yeah. Detective Comics 935. We got Divinity 2, number three. Josh. Flash number one.
Woo!
Future Quest number one, second print. So if you missed out on that one, I have more coming.
Future Quest 2 coming out.
I don't know! It's not next week.
It's going the way of...
How's that? Is that a good answer for you? Not next week?
You're right.
Image Plus Extras number 3 is shipping next week, which is just odd only because that's supposed to go along with the previews, which isn't shipping next week. Justice League 52. This also gives me a bit of concern. 51 was this week, 52 is next week. My only concern is next week is the fourth Wednesday, then we have a fifth Wednesday.
Why
didn't they wait for this to come out on that fifth Wednesday? Because I think they only have like two annuals shipping that fifth Wednesday. So it's going to be, could be a very light week. Lucas Stan, this is a boom one. I don't know a ton about it other than it's a boom one. Ms. Marvel, number 8, tying in the Civil War. Nighthawk, number 2, because you demanded it.
Who did?
Somebody did. Rye, number 14.
That's
cool.
It was Dave.
She-Wolf. She-Wolf, number 1, which is a Rich Tommaso one from Image.
The She-Wolf of the SS?
They've been pushing hard. This one had an interesting... No. Had an interesting idea where this girl is having dreams that she's a werewolf, and all of a sudden those dreams are starting to bleed into reality, and is it true or not? We don't know. Star Wars Force Awakens adaptation. Ooh. Yeah, we'll see how that one goes. Totally Awesome Hulk number 7 is a Civil War tie-in. If you read Civil War 2, this could be very important.
Super Bitch and X-Men?
No. Ultimates number 8 is also a Civil War tie-in. Wonder Woman number 1 for everyone at the table.
Now, are the Odd Ones the current story or the year
we'll
one?
Find out. I don't remember.
Okay.
I want to say I think the even is going to be the year one. No, I want to say the odd because Liam Sharp just did the Rebirth one.
Okay.
So I would imagine that Nicholas Scott would be on the next issue.
Okay.
Just and she's doing the year one.
Just to keep that pacing going.
And then for Dave, X-Files number 3.
Unless that's why they had the book split up.
So that's what we got next week. As always, you can find me here at the store or PittsburghComics.com, which we might be banking some fun stuff with. We'll see. We're talking about it. Discussions are being had. Find me on Facebook at Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter at PGH Comics, also Instagram. I think it's everywhere you can find me.
I think so.
A couple weeks you can find me on the beach.
They can't find you at any libraries or museums.
No, no. No, I'm not there.
Do you have anything special going on this month?
This month, because it's Dark Horse 30th anniversary, we're doing double points on all Dark Horse books. Man, I just can't talk anymore. You like that Dark Horse?
Double points on all Dark Horse to celebrate their 30th anniversary. That'll be all month long through June. And in July, there'll be something else cool going on. So make sure you listen to the podcast. Check Twitter, check Facebook, check the website.
And
stay in touch.
Definitely listen next week. We should, unless Adam messes things up. We should have a very special guest. It's a very special episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, you shouldn't say it like that because that always reminds me of like when Dudley and Arnold went to the bike shop. Nothing good happened.
Oh, okay.
With Gordon Jump.
Do you wanna spill the beans, Adam?
Yeah.
Do you wanna make the big announcement? No?
You brought it up.
Yeah, I'm gonna be all
quiet. Surprise, we'll see.
Well, do we wanna surprise them or
no.
do we wanna
No, because you want people to know.
Okay.
Thanks for reminding
Next
me
week we have Mr. Fred Van Lente.
I know, I'm not 100% sure.
Lent or Lente?
I don't
Yeah, we have I'm going to say Lente right now, but I will ask him next week.
I'm just call him
That's
Fred.
Our first question for him.
Yeah, how do you pronounce your last name exactly?
We need to get Kevin Feige on here just so we can find out how to pronounce his name.
No joke.
It's Feige.
But Adam talked to him, and he agreed to come on the podcast, do an interview. He has been mentioned a lot by the podcast here in regards to his Valiant books. He wrote the first volume of Archer and Armstrong after Valiant's relaunch. Brought them into the modern Valiant universe. He wrote Ivar Timewalker. He wrote the Legend of the Geomancer miniseries. He has done a lot of stuff with Valiant. He is writing an Assassin's Creed book right now. He just had Weird Detective come out today from Dark Horse, right?
Did you mention War Mother? This is one of his
future... I didn't mention that yet. War Mother, Adam just pointed out, one of the 4001 AD... tie-ins. Colin mentioned Marvel Zombies. He's done quite a bit of stuff over the years.
He's got a book called it's a comic book history of comic books, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. then he did another book you told me about.
He's done a lot.
Yeah,
he did Action
mm-hmm. Philosophers.
That's it, yeah.
But he will be on the podcast, as of now he'll be on the podcast next week. So make sure you listen. Hear us take a probably poor stab at being interviewers, but hopefully he
is
a
first interview on here.
What's that?
That's not our first interview on here.
Would you consider yourself a seasoned interviewer?
No.
Okay, so
but
we'll
it isn't
a
our
poor
first.
Stab.
I can go back and listen to some of that.
But it's not something that happens often.
Okay. I'm sorry. Looking for pronunciations and there was nothing to be had.
Oh, that's
cool. Sorry. I tried.
But that'll be pretty cool.
It's library
yes.
and museum.
If you have any questions you would like us to ask him,
Please
email
Facebook,
email to
Twitter.
Us, send to us to the website. Facebook, Twitter, whatever. We will be more than happy to pass along any questions that aren't dumb. Let's be honest, guys. Let's not send any dumb questions.
Adam, do you like going to the museum or any books
don't
in the library?
We don't want this to be like the
what
the
Keller are
convention.
Your socks?
I don't say Keller.
Oh, it jumps on that.
What kind of tree would you be?
Yeah.
I also don't say sack.
What's your favorite cheese?
So. So
maybe that's an interesting. Maybe you like that question. What's your favorite cheese?
I've asked someone that in a job interview once.
Really?
Yeah, they were kind of nervous, so I was like, "What's your favorite cheese?"
So you got them.
Yeah.
Their head exploded and they ran crying from the room.
They took a long time to answer it. It wasn't as.
Or like it could be Gouda.
Yeah.
From under.
That'll be fun.
So.
That's podcast.
We'll talk to you next week.
Oh, one other thing.
What?
You never mentioned this on the podcast when you say where to find you, but Colin also has a weekly newsletter.
I do.
That he puts together that highlights some books that are coming out, any sales, any important information. It comes out Tuesday night before New Comic Book Day, and you can sign up for that right on the website. So check it out. It's been going on for a little while, and I think you get a decent number of clicks through it, so people definitely read it and seem to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So.
Did you mention Comics Now is up?
Yeah, New Comics Now is up. Which you guys mock me horribly, but I do that for you guys.
We're just jealous because you don't invite us to do the voices.
If you guys want to come down on Monday morning.
If he invited you, would you come down and do it?
Yeah, really?
Yes, I would.
You just
remember I did the Yoda voice.
Would you just do a voice during preview theater, or would you actually be on air for the rest of the episode?
I do like a Bobcat Goldthwait voice throughout the
whole. I mean, you would put yourself on camera?
Oh, I don't care.
Okay.
I'd have nothing important to say.
He's doing it all just quietly until it's.
Colin's like,
until we get the comments.
I'm not putting you on TV.
He'd do a Chuck. Yeah!
Oh,
yeah.
God.
So. Okay. Are we done now?
That's really a podcast. So.
We're done? We're good?
We never mentioned the newsletter. That's all.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. So we will talk to you next week. See ya.